The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Psalm 122 and verse 6. I want us to pray a little before we teach. Psalm 122 and verse 6. I have a strong leading in my heart to do this, and I'm just going to follow that leading. Hallelujah. And that verse is talking about Jerusalem. But specifically, we are going to pray that prayer for Nigeria and for Enugu State. Are you following me? He said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. Hallelujah. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. We're going to bless these states. And we're going to specifically speak peace over the states. The psalmist said, for the sake of my companion, because I have people living in this city, I'm going to speak over the city and say, peace be with thee. Listen, I believe that the church is the highest authority in any state. I totally believe it. It's not the government, it's the church. Because we decide what happens. And so today, just for like 3-5 minutes, as a church, we're going to hold our hands together. And we're going to speak over this state. I know you've complained, but then we're going to speak peace upon this land. And we're going to use this prayer to handle every security challenge in this state. I get to the point. And we're going to speak over this state and say, there is now the peace of God. And you see, that which the devil has been trying to orchestrate in this land will not stand, and it won't come to pass. So in the next few minutes, I'd like you to pray from your heart. We're going to speak peace. And we're going to speak and begin to see it come to pass. This December and throughout this election period, what the enemy has planned will not stand. We're going to speak the peace of God upon this land. And if you know, like I know, you know the choir sang, they said, when I pray, everything responds. And if you believe that your prayer is that powerful, you're going to lend your voice to this. And I told you guys, 2020, during the COVID lockdown, I told us, let us pray against COVID. And I told you guys, sometimes the devil might tell you, in this whole world, what makes you think that it is your own prayer that will change things? Now that's a revelation. My prayer changes things. If every other person's prayer will not work, my prayer will work. So if you know your prayers work this morning, let's lift our voice as a church and declare over Enugu State the peace of God. Lift your voice and pray all over this place. We handle every security challenge. We handle every case of insecurity, that from this time and in this week, we arrest that demon that perpetrates kidnapping, that demon that perpetrates insecurity, that demon that delights in bloodshed. We bring it to naught. We silence those voices. And we speak the peace of God over this land. I like you to pray like you know that your prayers will work. Pray like you know your prayers. We are declaring over Jerusalem. Over this our Jerusalem. Over this our state. Peace be within thee. Peace be in this land. Peace be in this land. We speak the peace of God over this land. We speak the peace of God over this land. We stop bloodshed over this land. We stop bloodshed over this land. We stop bloodshed over this land. We stop insecurity over this land. We stop kidnapping in this land. We speak over this land and we say, the peace of God be with you. In the name of Jesus, pray all over this place. We put an end to satanic forces, to satanic manipulation, to satanic orchestrations that is perpetrating insecurity, that is perpetrating danger, bloodshed of any kind. We say no more. No more.
shall stand, neither shall it come to pass. We bring an end to this wickedness. Come on, pray. I know you have prayed for your safety. We are going to pray for the safety of this state, for your brethren and for your companions, for your friends, and for the many souls that are not saved, that we have to preach the gospel to. We declare there shall be no bloodshed. There shall be no bloodshed. We bring an end to bloodshed. We arrest the peace, the insecurity in this land, and we impose the peace of God upon this land. Just pray. Pray, 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 pray. This implicates you in many ways. Every part of this state. And it shall spread from this state to every part of the southeast. Enough of the bad news. Enough of the fear. Enough of the insecurity. We are saying no more as a church. No more as a church. Pray. If you let the devil, he will never stop. But we are not going to let him. We are speaking peace over this land. We are speaking peace over this land. Stand as an intercessor and bring peace in this land. Bring peace in this land. I want you to pray a little more. Because the purpose of all this insecurity is against the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, so just pray. In Jesus' name we pray. One more thing, we are going to pray for the leaders of this state. Okay, we are going to pray that from now they begin to function with the wisdom of God. We are going to pray because I tell you, it's just one action from a leader that will stop all this nonsense. Now, we don't know what is in their hearts, whether they have good intentions or not. We're going to declare that the wisdom of God arrests their mind. That this week, decisions will be made in the place of authority that will stop this wickedness in the land. Lift your voice and pray that prayer. We speak God's wisdom over the leadership of this state. That in this week, decisions will be made that we arrest this wickedness. That we arrest this insecurity. You are joining your hands together because we are agreeing as a church. We are agreeing as a family. No more. No more. In the name of Jesus, no more. We speak that God's wisdom comes on the leadership of the states. And in every quarter, in every local government, in every ward, that wisdom of God to arrest this. We speak peace. We speak peace. In Jesus' name we pray. And Father, thank you because when we pray, you answer. And I speak as your servants in this land that there will be no more wickedness, no more bloodshed, no more kidnapping. And everyone that has already planned to orchestrate evil this season, we dismantle those plans. We turn their minds away from those plans. And we declare that from now, any good state begins to enjoy peace, begins to enjoy security, begins to enjoy peace and prosperity. In the name of Jesus, we bless our leaders everywhere, from the state level to local government level, that you that are blessed with wisdom, the wisdom of God to do what they must and bring peace to this land. Thank you, because I know this will be the best season ever. Not a season of bad news, but a season of much more good news. And from now till the next day, to the election period, we impose peace on this land in the name of Jesus. Thank you, because I know this land is peaceful to dwell in, and this peace will bring prosperity. For the sake of your saints in this land, for the sake of your children in this land, you are declaring there is peace in our borders. In the name of Jesus. Do you believe that prayer? Let's give God a big shout. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's be seated. Hallelujah. I just felt pressed in my spirit to pray in that direction. Hallelujah.
Amen. So this morning I'm going to be teaching you. I'm going to be challenging you. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Amen. Do you have your writing material? You should be ready. I'm going to be teaching. I'm going to be challenging you. I'm going to be, you know, asking you to make some commitments and some decisions this morning. Even as the year is coming to an end, and as you're about to receive a new year, this teaching becomes even more and more important. I'm teaching on what I titled, Be Transformed. Hallelujah. Let me touch your neighbor and say, Be Transformed. Touch your neighbor and say, Be Transformed. At least when you hear me announce topics like this, you should know that it's going to come very hot this morning. Hallelujah. Be transformed. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Father, I ask, Lord, that you breathe upon your word and cause every heart to receive revelation. Cause every heart to have understanding. I pray that as my words begin to come forth, it captures every soul. Captures every heart listening to me, and they will be glued to your word, and this will begin to produce the change that they need in them, in Jesus' name. So Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So God wants us to be transformed. God wants us to be transformed. That word transformed is the Greek word metamorpho. That is M-E-T-A-M-O-R-P-H-O-O. Metamorpho, whatever you want to say, metamorpho, hallelujah. And of course, that's the way you get the word in English. What would you remember? Metamorphosis, hallelujah. And what is metamorphosis? You know, it's that thing that happens in some living things, amen, where they get to change from one state to another. And so he said, be ye transformed. It means to metamorphose. It means to grow. It means to change. And I tell you what, a believer must want to change. A believer must want to metamorphose. A believer must want to be transformed from one state to another. Let me explain this briefly. There are different kinds of this transformation. First, there is transformation that happens at salvation. Please follow this closely. There is transformation that happens at salvation. John 5 verse 24 tells us of that transformation. He says, I saw unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me had everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. But what happened? Look, he's passed from what? Death into life. So that's the transformation. When someone comes into Christ, the person is moved from death into life. That's a transformation. He's transported from the state of death into life. Ephesians 5 verse 8 will tell us of that change. It tells us you are sometime darkness. He said, but now are ye light in the Lord. So it tells that when someone gets saved, he is transformed from darkness into light. He's transformed from death to life, from darkness into light. And notice this transformation is instantaneous. This particular transformation happens immediately you get born again. So if you are not born again this morning and you just open your heart and receive Jesus, automatically you are transformed from darkness to light. Automatically you are moved from death into life. Are you following me? Automatically. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us of that transformation. Say, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He says, all things have passed away. He said, behold, how many things? All things have become new. That's the transformation. He is transformed immediately. So that is a transformation that happens when someone gets saved. It happens instantly. Are you following me? If you get to verse 21 of this verse, it begins to tell us of the fact that God made him who knew no sin to become sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. That transformation moves a man from sin to righteousness. So before you got born again, possibly you were whatever you think you are. Immediately you get saved, you are moved from that state of sin to the state of righteousness. You are moved from darkness into light. So are you born again this morning? Are that saved men this morning? If you are saved, you'll be moved from darkness to light. That's the first transformation. It happens instantly and perfectly. You can't add to it. You can't increase it. You can't improve on it. Actually, that is the transformation that happens in your spirit. Don't tell us man has a spirit, has a soul, and lives in a body. So when you get born again, your spirit man is transformed totally. That's the first transformation. It happens completely. You can't add to it. And that's why, no matter who you are before you got saved, until you get saved, you are no more darkness. You are now light. Some light. Some light. You are no longer dead. You are now alive. You are no longer a sinner. You are now righteous. It happens instantly. It happens instantly. Glory to God. It happens instantly. That's why it will be wrong for anybody that is born again to still look at himself like a sinner. Because when you got born again, you are transported from darkness into light. You are moved from death into life. So you can't say, I'm just a sinner. You are not just a sinner. You are not a sinner anymore. The day you came into Christ, you are moved from darkness to light. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Are you getting me, church? He is a new creature. So there is a total transformation that happens when you come into light. There's a total transformation that happens when you get saved. It moves you from the bondage of Satan into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. It translates you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Colossians will tell us, chapter 1, and if I'm not mistaken, verse 13. Colossians 1, verse 13, it tells us of that change. He said, who had delivered us from the power of darkness. Take note of the tense here. He didn't say he will deliver us. He did not say he used to deliver us. What did he say? He has delivered us. So once you get saved, you are delivered. From what? Power of darkness, and you are now here in the kingdom of his dear son. So that's the transformation that happens at salvation. But this transformation is not in your body. It's not even in your mind. Because you realize that even after you get born again, if you still have dirty thoughts in your mind, those thoughts will still come up in your mind. If you are fat, you will still be fat. If you are tall, you will still be tall. Are you following me? So that transformation is not your mind and your body. And that is the problem. Many of us think that because we are not seeing this transformation in our body, or are not seeing it instantly in our mind, that it did not happen. You say, are you born again? You say, I'm not even sure. No. When you get born again, there's a transformation that happens in your spirit. And that's what makes you born again. Are you following me, church? That's that change that happens in your spirit. It turns you from an old man to a new man. It turns you, it's a brand new person. Actually, that's what Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be Christ, he's a new creature. Actually, in the Greek, the way it appears is, he's a species that has never existed before. So, the believer, when he gets saved, God does not upgrade him. Let me say this to you. God does not collect your garments when you get saved and then wash it and gives it back to you. No. He creates a brand new person. Yes, hallelujah. He changes you entirely. And I want to say this to you. The day you got saved, you are changed entirely. You are no more the same. You need to know it. You are no more the same. Something happened to you that changed your life forever. And that thing is called salvation. Are you following me? Now, that's the first. Now, after that, there's another transformation. Now, this is now in your mind. And that is the part we read in 2 Corinthians and Romans 12, verse 2. Say, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, that your mind is where what people call the soul, the second part of you. That's where your thoughts are. That's where your emotions are. That's where everything is. That part of you is not changed instantaneously as salvation. No. Are you following me? That's why if you had evil thoughts, you can still get born again and those thoughts will still cross your mind. That's why even if you had the addictions. Now, what you now, that's the part that needs to be, notice the tense used here, being transformed by the renewing. The renewing tells you it's a present, it's something that keeps happening. The one in your spirit happens instantly. You can't change that one. You can't even reverse it. The one that goes on in your mind is a continuous thing that should be happening. Are you following me? Now, as it is now, it is not, and see why the mind is important. It is your mind, your heart, or whatever you call it, that affects your action. Because as a man, ticketing is that so easy. Get the point? And so, there's a transformation that should begin to go on there. That's what the Bible calls putting off the old man, putting on the new man.
where even though you already changed totally your spirit man, your mind is still undergoing a renewal. There is that transformation. And actually, that's the transformation I'm talking about this morning. Amen? Where you begin to, now that you're born again, your mind begins to undergo a transformation that will begin to show up in your body, show up in your actions, show up in your conduct. That transformation happens from inside and it begins to affect you on the outside. Now, please don't miss this. That is not your spirit being changed. Your spirit has been changed. That is your mind undergoing a renewal. Come on, church. Are you following me? That's your mind undergoing a renewal. It will now show your conduct. This is simply what we call growth. Amen? So that is that part. Now, there is a thought transformation. I won't talk about that a lot today. I'll just mention it. Which is now the final transformation of our body. So the same way we have spiritual and body, your spirit is transformed when you get saved fully. Your mind or your soul is being transformed or should be transformed gradually. Now your body will be transformed. The transformation of your body is what will happen when we meet Jesus. Let me show you a scripture. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Hallelujah. Thank you to somebody, so just follow. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. The change he's talking about here is not your mind being changed or your spirit being changed. He's talking about your body, and you will see it shortly. But next verse. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Verse 53. Watch, for this corruptible, he's talking about your flesh, your body, must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Verse 54. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption. Now go to verse 52 or verse 51. Work with NLT. Everybody please look at the screen. He said, but let me reveal to you his wonderful secret. We will not all die. We will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. But when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. Verse 53, pay attention. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. So there will be a transformation of this body. But that's when we meet Jesus. Hallelujah. What people call rapture. When that happens, this body is going to receive its transformation. So we can say it this way. We've been transformed. We are being transformed. We will be transformed. Do you understand it? We have been transformed. We are being transformed. I hope you can spell all of this. Amen. And we will be transformed. So let me see. Let me try you on this. We have been transformed. Spell the B. B. Correct it in your book. You didn't get it. Then we are being transformed. Is what?
B-B-I-N.
Very well. And we will be transformed. So we are transformed. Your spirit man. At salvation. You can't change that. You can't add to it. We are being transformed. Your mind. Which affects your conduct and everything. Undergoing a renewal. We will be transformed. Your body. When Jesus comes. Hallelujah. And so the part I'm going to focus on today is that second part. Because, you know, while we are on earth, God wants our mind transformed. And this transformation of the mind will now begin to affect every part of you. Affect your conduct. You know what I'm saying? God wants you to change. God doesn't just want you to be born again and say, well, all I know is that I'm born again. He wants that as you're now born again, there should be changes. There should be some transformation that will begin to go on in your mind and it will begin to affect you on the outside. He wants that there should be a transformation that will affect, for instance, your character. Such that before now, you used to say things anyhow and talk anyhow, but suddenly you are now beginning to watch what you say and how you say it. He wants that change to exist. That's the renewal that goes on in your mind. I get to the point. He wants that in the past, you can just wear anything and you don't care whether it's short or it's long. But he wants that there should be a transformation that will begin to affect you, that you will not begin to care. Well, this is short, I'm not going to wear this. I get the point. That's that transformation. Now, it's not something that will happen automatically, but it is something that God wants, that you will keep changing. Notice something. The first transformation is the work of God. You can't add to it. You can't say, Father, I believe your son died for me. Boom, it happens, you are changed. The last transformation is still the work of God. Where rapture with trumpet sounds, God, the Holy Ghost in you will change you. Are you following me, church? This second transformation is what you have to be doing by yourself. You have to begin to work. That's what I'm going to show you this morning. It's still God doing it in you. But in this second transformation, you now have to cooperate with Him to make it happen. Are you following me? You now have to cooperate with Him. So God wants you to change. He wants that in the past, you could say whatever, but now you no longer say those things again. Change is happening. He wants you to change. For instance, He wants you to change in your knowledge. Some of us had some crazy knowledge about God. But God wants that transformation to begin to happen in your mind, and you begin to see things differently. Begin to see God differently. You begin to understand God differently. He wants that transformation to happen, for instance, in your love walk. Such that, you know, you that we always find it difficult to forgive people, we suddenly find it easy to forgive. You know, this is one area that many believers have not experienced change. And you see them, they can wear long skirts, they can carry big Bible, but their love walk is zero. You hurt them, they can never forgive you. That is where there needs to be transformation. I get the point. God wants to change you. God wants you to change. He doesn't just want you to be born again. That's what we call spiritual growth. He doesn't just want you to be born again and you say, well, I'm born again, I'm just going to relax and just be here. He wants that as you're born again, something should be happening. Just like you give birth to a child. Notice this, friends. Let me see if I can use childbirth. When you give birth to a child, that child is a human being. Is that correct? Now, he cannot stop being a human being. He is already a human being. But then you want him to grow. You want him to get to a place where he can wash plates, where he can wash his own clothes. You want him to get to a point where he can act in a certain way. You want him to get to a point where he can talk. That is transformation. You want him to be changing from one level to another. And that's what God wants you to do. That even if you are here and used to be a very bitter person, I can't forgive anybody. God wants you to be transformed to a point where you now find it easy to forgive and let things go. That even if you are such a person that used to be very hateful, God wants you to change to a point where you cannot even hate people, where people do things to you and you are looking for hatred in your heart. You can't find it. Are you getting me? He wants you to change in your love walk. He wants you to change in your character. He wants you to change in knowledge. He wants you to change, for instance, in your faith life, for instance. Faith life. Such that you are such a person that never believed that any good thing can happen. But suddenly you begin to grow and make progress in your faith. And even when things are going wrong, you are now stronger. You can say, well, this thing will change. That's transformation. Are you following me this morning, church? Such that in the past, you are such a person that, you know, if someone is sick, you don't even know what to do. But suddenly you've changed and you've grown and you've been transformed to a point where someone is sick, you just know you just have to lay hands and he'll be healed. He wants you to change. So God wants you to keep changing. He wants you to change, for instance, in your boldness. Boldness. So my point is, God doesn't just want us to be saved. Yes, our spirit man is changed, but he wants us to keep growing and keep transforming and keep metamorphosing from one state to another, even in our walk with Him, getting better. Are you getting the point? Getting better. Getting better in our conduct. Getting better in our speeches. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, I think verse 5, right? 1 Peter chapter 1, yes, I'm right. And verse 5, he said, 2 Peter rather, not 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, he said, giving all diligence. Giving all diligence. Add to your faith what? Come on, are you in church this morning? Are you in church? Shake up your neighbor. Are you in church this morning? Add to your faith what? Add to your faith what?
Virtue.
And to virtue what?
Knowledge.
Hallelujah. And to knowledge what?
Temperance.
And to temperance?
Patience.
And to patience? Godliness. And to godliness? Brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness? Charity. This is growth. This is change. God wants you to, not just that you have faith, I believe in Jesus. Add something to that faith. Grow. Transform. Get better. Hallelujah. And that's why I tell friends, if you are here, you're born again, and after 5 years of being born again, we cannot see any tangible change. Yes, I know your spirit man is changed. I know you are a heavenly citizen. I know God loves you, but we should be able to see a tangible change, a visible, practical change. That means you are growing. That means you are transforming. Your dressing should change. Your thought pattern should change. How you think should change. How you talk should change. Are you getting me? How you act should change. Things that matter to you should change. I hear believers make excuses like, well, that's just who I am. Well, that's not how you should be anymore. I get to the point. That's just who I am. You know me, I don't take nonsense. You must change to a point where you start taking nonsense. Are you getting me? I don't take nonsense. Once you give me, I'm going to give you back. You must get to the point where people give you and you keep it. You don't give them back. That is change. And that's what God wants you to do. And it is a constant thing. It's a constant thing. He said, for me, my body is my body. I can wear anything I want to wear. Nobody should tell me what to wear. I dress how I want to dress. If you have it, show it. Well, it's okay if that's where you are. But God wants you to change to a point where you no longer want to show what you have. I get the point. When you now get some clothes and say, this clothes is not for me. It's for my younger sister. Hallelujah. Elevate to that point. Because people think, many believers think they are growing, but they are growing in foolishness. You know, one sign that you are growing and you are being transformed is that your consecration is being heightened. That the things you can no longer do keep reducing. Keep increasing. The things you can no longer do begin to increase. I get what I'm saying? So that in the past you could do this, but as you begin to grow, and I got a text after that was this week. One of my people just wrote to me and said that, you know, I want to talk to you about it. He said, guys, I want you to help me. From my first year, I'm in third year. From my first year, I've been engaged in, I always engage in exam practice every semester. He said, but this forthcoming exam, I don't want to do it again. And I want you to help me. That is growth. What you can no longer do should keep reducing. I get the point. Should keep increasing rather. Such that in the past I could do this freely, but as I began to grow in my walk with God, I can no longer do this. Not because I'm trying to make God happy or because God is going to kill me, but because I am growing. I get to the point. You give birth to a child at 2 years, 3 years, you are the one pursuing the child. Go and wear your clothes. Do you realize that? Now, if you expect that there should be an age the child will get to. Even if you, the father or the mother, want to enter the room where she's changing. He said, mommy, where is it that I'm changing? That is growth. Is that not growth?
Yes,
but many believers are growing. The more they are adding in age, the more naked they are becoming. That's the problem. More people are growing, the more naked they are becoming. And they think they are growing in foolishness. So you see someone, he entered first year, when she entered first year, she wears dresses very well, she can't wear some kind of short stuffs. When she gets to final year, she can now wear it. I'm told that when people post their before and after, I feel like telling them, go back to your before. Return to your before. Because sometimes before and after is, before is where I'm dressing well. After, I'm now woke. I go naked. That is even wrong. Even in the way the world is created, children go from being naked to wearing clothes. You go from wearing clothes to being naked. Now, you see, there should be a change. Now, what I'm sharing with you is that, and I said talking on Zoe, at Zoe, on the last one of Zoe, one sign that you are getting better is that at every point in your life, there should be something you are trying to drop. Remember that. That should be something you're trying to drop. Because you're growing. That should be something you're trying to drop. That should be progress in your path. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so you notice, God wants you to get better. Not just about character, even your spiritual flow. That initially, they want to pray for 30 minutes, your leg is paining you. But then now you can pray for 3 hours. God wants you to be transformed. That is the transformation we're talking about. Initially, you couldn't pray. Now, 3 hours you can pray. 4 hours you can pray. 5 hours you can pray. Before, you were not even confident enough to believe God for your healing. But now you can begin to trust God for the healing of someone else that is sick. That is growth. That is transformation. You see, believers who have been born again since 19 Abraham, and they cannot minister healing to even one person. Not even to themselves. And that's not growth. They've been born again for God knows how long. But you know, they're still afraid of every nonsense on the street. He said, oh, so, there's a bird that flew into my room. He said, God forbid, Holy Ghost fire, bring oil. They're still afraid. They're not growing. They're not making progress. God wants you to grow. Be ye transformed. Hallelujah. Metamorphose from one level of strength to another. From one level of boldness to another. From one level of faith to another. From one level of soul winning to another. And at first, you couldn't preach the gospel to someone. But after 2 years, you can now meet 3 or 4 people and preach the gospel to them. That is growth. And I'm going to challenge you this morning under the sound of my voice to decide to be transformed. To decide to make progress. To grow. To add to yourself. Hallelujah. To add to yourself. And I can begin to show you the first thing that brings this change is the gospel. The word of God. The first thing that brings this change is the word of God. The word of God changes us. Paul tells us, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That's Romans chapter 1 verse 16. It is the power of God unto salvation. So the word of God is power. The word of God does not have power. The word of God does not just produce power. The word of God is power. When the gospel is preached, it has the capacity to change men. First, it has the capacity to change sinners. That's why you can find someone who has been in sin. He's a renowned cultist. He's an arm robber. She's a prostitute. She's whatever you can think of. And then the gospel comes and she's changed entirely. Oh, glory to God. I love the changing power of the gospel. How we can turn a man from a sinner to a saint. Just the gospel. It has the power to change. The Bible tells us that in Acts 19, I guess verse 18, after Paul took the gospel to Ephesus, that even there was so much change in that land that people that were magicians, people that practiced magic, people that practiced witchcraft, they brought all their books and all their materials and it was being burnt. The gospel was just preached. It has the capacity to change a cultist to a preacher. That's the gospel. So that's the first thing, the word of God. But then, apart from the fact that they can change a sinner, it also changes the saint. After he now believes, the gospel has, the word of God has capacity to keep changing you as a saint. And I want to challenge you this morning under the sound of my voice, that if you are going to experience change, you must give yourself to the word of God. If you are going to experience change, if you are going to experience transformation from one level of strength to another, from one level in your conduct to another, you must give yourself to God's word. It is God's word that changes us. And what I'm sharing with you can never be overemphasized. You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday, one of our dear ones, and we were talking about something that he was struggling with. And I told him something, and it was very strange. It's just like you come to me now and you tell me, sir, I have a problem. I said, what's the problem? I smoke. And I'm just giving an example. I smoke or I'm a heavy drinker. And then I told him, I said, stop trying to stop it. He said, sir, I said, yeah, stop trying. Stop trying. It looks like a very great advice. He says, so what do I do? I said, it's a very simple thing. Immerse yourself in God's word. Immerse yourself in your walk with God. Gradually, those things will fall off. I'm telling you. Because most times when there is a struggle, how many of you have discovered that there were some addictions you had at a time, for instance? and you are fighting and fighting to stop it, and it didn't go. But when you ignored it and began to grow spiritual and begin to read God's word and begin to get better, you wake up one day and discover, it's been long I did this. Has it happened to you? God's word changes us. Just immerse yourself in his word. Just like that illustration I normally give you. If there is an empty pot of food in this place, and there are 1,000 house flies in this place, and you are trying to drive the house flies from the pot of food, so you get your broom, and we are all trying to kill the house flies. We're going to try forever. The house flies will keep perching because there are 1,000 of them and even much more. Hallelujah. But if we get that pot of food and put it on fire and heat it to a certain temperature, even if a house fly perches on it, it will die. And that's what it means to immerse yourself in God's word. Be transformed. So God's word changes us. It changes us. And it happens, this change comes as we take in the word. I'll say a few things. Number one, it comes as we take in the word. And this taking in the word talks about reading it. It talks about listening to it. It talks about hearing it. As we hear the word, as we read the word, as we take in the word, we are changed. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. He said, as newborn babes, glory to God, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So how does someone grow? The word. How does someone grow from one state to another? The word. Okay, let me bring it to natural. You know, there is, when a child is born, there is the baby, whatever, then from babyhood to adulthood. That's a process. How do you move from that one level to another? You eat food, Abi. That's what many parents say. That's what the word of God is. And now you ask yourself, why are people not growing in the work of God? See, this one has been born again for the past 20 years. Her life is nothing to show for it. Now, you say, are we even sure she's born again? No, don't talk like that. She's born again. The only difference is she's not eating. Just like when you give birth to a child and you starve the child, eventually the child is going to die. You get the point? And this death for us spiritually would mean the person, that's why you see people, they get born again. After 1 year, they don't even remember that we were ever born again. Their life is nothing to show for it. Because they are not growing. That growth is by the word of God. So as you take in the word, this taking in is by reading it, by listening to it, by hearing it, just like you're hearing it this morning. Hallelujah. It begins to change you. You know something I normally share with you guys here? The word of God changes us. Say amen. And the problem, the good thing about the word of God changing us is, as the word of God is changing you, you do not even know it that it's changing you. Let me give an example. How many of you, when you are eating, as you eat, you feel yourself growing tall? Does it happen to you? Okay. As you eat, do you feel yourself getting fat? Hallelujah. Now let me, I always say, how do you now know you are fat? Just one day you want to put on your clothes. You know, yeah. Glory to God. It's not entering again. You say, I've added though. Notice you didn't even know where you were adding, but you are eating. See, every time we are in church, every time we read God's word, every time we listen to it, we are changing. We don't know we are changing until when the time comes. How do you know you are changing? One day, you've been hearing God's word casually, just every day. Then one day, there's a situation that demands that you fight back and say painful things to the person. And suddenly you can no longer say them. Those words can no longer produce curses. Just find yourself smiling and telling the person, I know why I'm leaving you. As soon as you leave that place, you're asking yourself, how did I become like this? Has ever happened to you? God's word is changing you. You find yourself in that situation where normally you should have compromised. Hallelujah. The things that used to appeal to you, maybe you used to be a smoker, you're not taking God's word. Then suddenly you get to the place where you're supposed to smoke the thing. And the thing, everything begins to disgust you. Are you getting the point? You don't even know when it happened, but a change has been taking place. Please follow me this morning. Change has been taking place. How you take in God's word, you listen to God's word to the point that your friend said, oh well, we are going to the beach. And you say, wow, I'm going to. And then you put on the normal clothes they used to put on. You no longer feel comfortable. Just like something is happening. You put it off. And you look for a longer stuff. And they say, is this what I'm wearing? He says, that's what I can wear. He said, when did you become like this? You don't even know when you became like that. But as we eat God's word, hallelujah, it changes us. Hallelujah. You know, one of the days, I used to share this story with you a couple of times. One of the days I found out that God's word was really changing me because I got born again. And in case you don't know, before I got born again, I'm naturally a very revengeful person. Anything you do to me, you will receive it in sevenfold. I won't let it go. If you do to me, I'm going to give it back to you. And that's natural me. You know, growing up, it was a normal thing. Children will fought a lot. Because if you do me, I will not let it slide. I'm going to do you back. Say amen. But then, I didn't even know something was happening. Until I share this story all the time. One day in class, when SS3. So, this student was trying to teach us something on the board. And some, you know, the guy was good in mathematics and was trying to teach us. And I said, okay, sas. I said, I told him, guys, solve number 12, something like that. You know, this. And another student said, solve number 7. I said, please solve number 12. And the guy said, shut up. I'm not someone you can intimidate easily. I said, solve number 12. So the guy stood up and walked up to my seat, watched infantry, and hit me. So I didn't say anything. So after the whole whatever, I went to meet him. I said, guy, why did you hit me? Guess what this guy did? He lifted a seat by his side and smashed it on my head. Glory to God. Now, the first thing is, I know I can beat that boy. Now, without the help of God or angels, alone. And you know, secondary school, everybody get that and say, Aga, why did you do that? Say, if his mom, don't let him, I won't let him. Don't leave him. Yeah, don't try it. Now, I tell you, the day that happened, there were 52 things that came to my mind to do to him. I saw things around. I saw compass. I saw seats. I saw many things to do to him. You know compass? Glory to God. Actually, I've used that on someone before. Yeah, that's by the way. So I just remembered that I can use this thing and destroy this boy's life. I can be. So do you know? But somehow, I didn't know where the calmness came from. I just smiled. I told him, guy, thank God, though. Thank God for Jesus. He said, get out. I said, it's fine. So I left. You know, even when I was going home, my friends, you are all over me. Let's go and meet that boy in his house. Let's show him. You see here, God's word will change you. You know, the choir sang this morning, the word of God will make you what he says. It will make you. I just couldn't find the strength. In fact, that day, my school was a kind of school. If I had gone to report him, for instance, they would have either suspended him or expelled him. But I didn't even want that to happen to him. I didn't even tell my people when I got home. I didn't even want them to come to school the next day to make problem. I didn't want anybody to know. I just wanted to be fine. So I let everything slide. Good thing is, I live by the next week, he came and apologized. He said, I don't know what came over me. Hallelujah. As I tell you, a couple of verses met me in class that period and said, guy, this is your church thing. You know, because I started doing the church thing. So this is your church thing. Oh, wow. If it's me, I will not let it pass. I was happy that day. But I tell you, that strength did not come from my head. Because my head that day, even as I'm telling the story now, my head knows what he wants to do. So leave my head. But there is growth. Hallelujah. You can grow so much in your walk with God that you see a couple. You know, that's why I tell people, I believe in marriage seminars and all that. But I tell you what, if we all can individually grow spiritually, there will be no need for plenty marriage seminars. I tell you, if we can individually grow spiritually, you are getting better, I'm getting better. Suddenly, when people talk to you and you talk back as a lady, suddenly you no longer have that capacity to talk back. When they curse you, you bless. You will change to that person. The story was told of Smith Wigglesworth.
We heard this story a couple of times. How the wife, Tutukoso was one of the biggest evangelists that ever graced this earth. But before he got born again, the wife got saved before him. And then he dealt with the woman. As in, he dealt with the woman. The woman will go to church and he will lock up the door and say, you sleep outside today. But you see, when the word of God is working in you as a person, you don't even have capacity to fight back. And the woman was mesmerizing him with love and kindness. And one of those days, the Smith finally decided to go to church. Was the day the woman came back at night and then he locked up everyone and said, go back to where you're coming from. And then she tiptoed to the backyard and sneaked in through the back door and started laughing. I said, my dear husband, hold on, let me get your food. And the man ran into the room and knelt down and said to God, whatever you did to my wife, do it to me. The word of God can change us. Such that you that used to be rebellious, suddenly you can't find that rebellion again. Immerse yourself in God's word. As you read it, as you study it, as you listen to it, it will make you what it says. It will make you what it says. So the word of God changes us as we listen to it, as we hear it. I tell you one more way the word of God can change us. It changes us as we speak it. Not just as we listen to it, as you begin to confess it, it's changing you. That's why I teach you to always put God's word on your lips and confess it. For instance, if I tell you that you are righteous, open your mouth and begin to say to yourself, I am righteous. Joshua 1 verse 8 tells us, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. It shall not depart out of your mouth. Watch what it says. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. So you must keep the word of God in your lips. That's why you wake up every day, you talk God's word. Hallelujah. Like this one already, I've said some things about myself. I've spoken God's word. I'm not talking about positive confession. Oh, I will make it. Oh, I will. I'm talking about speaking God's word. If God's word said I'm righteous, I'm saying I'm righteous. If God's word said I'm blessed, I say I'm blessed. If God's word say I'm making progress, I say I'm making progress. If God's word say I am light, that I'm no more darkness, I say I am light. Hallelujah. The word of God says I'm God's temple. I'm going to say I'm God's temple. And notice something. You begin to speak God's word. You begin to speak God's word. And notice something that speaking God's word does, because that's the third way God's word changes us, is by doing it. So first of all, I said by taking in God's word, secondly by speaking it, thirdly by now doing it. But see the secret to this doing. The secret to doing God's word is in hearing it consistently and speaking it consistently. Look at this verse. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. So one, don't let it depart from your mouth. You know, just keep speaking it. Two, meditate on it day and night. That is, keep it in your heart always. What will it produce? That thou may observe to do all that is written therein. So it's by constantly speaking and paying attention to the word that you can do it. People think that how to do the word is, after pastor is done talking, you say, ah, pastor, thank you very much. Ah, I'm going to try very hard. Most times you try hard and you fail. When the word is, you are not hearing the word, stay on it. Hear it again. Read it again. Continuous hearing will produce continuous doing. Look at James chapter 1 and verse 22. I've taught from that scripture a couple of times now. He said, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now, how do you become a doer of the word? If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man. Behold his natural face in a glass. So the man that hears the word only is describing the hearer. He looks at his natural face in a glass and he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and forgetteth what manner of man he was. So he's trying to describe the man that hears only and does not do. He's the man that looks at himself in a glass. After looking, he turns and goes. What happens is after he goes, he has forgotten everything he saw. But how do you become a doer of the word? Watch. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. So you look and you keep looking. Pastor is done teaching in church. You go back, you pick up your Bible, you start reading. He's done, you get messages, you begin to listen to it. You don't know that continuous hearing will produce doing. Are you following me? Produce doing. To produce doing. If as you keep hearing, you are becoming stronger. You know, you've been hearing, exercise your faith. You say, this faith thing, I don't know how. Just keep hearing it. You don't even know you are being changed. Until one day there is a situation around. And you just find yourself strong like that. And people are wondering, where did you get this strength from? You used to be very fearful. You used to be very timid. You know, the word of God removes timidity from us. Some of us that are timid, you can't look at people. And I tell you what, I believe so much that God's word changes us. And that's why I can tell you, if you have a child, for instance, or a brother or a sister, who is, let me use the word misbehaving. If I let you use the word, who is not acting his or her age? Maybe you have someone that is up to 15 or 16, and then he's still, you know, brother, I can share the story. I'm going to share the story with you. Share the story of someone, a girl that was up to, is it 17 or 18? But she behaved so childishly. They can be holding service in church. A big girl like that, she will just from the back begin to crawl on the floor. And crawl to the front. 17. I'm telling you. You can be holding service and she's out there, just at the back, she will ease herself there. Very childish. The parents were tired. It looked like she wasn't developing. She will crawl from the back. Can imagine holding service and a big girl just goes on her knees, begin to crawl. Crawl around. And imagine the mom wanted to die. But one of those days in church, she got saved. There was an altar call and she came out and she got saved. And in less than some months, Brother Eki said after he left the church and came back after some time and saw the same girl. Wow. She was proper, smart, spoke well, her studies has improved. I believe the word of God has capacity to change a person and even improve your IQ. I believe what I'm telling you totally. I believe that if you raise your children reading God's word, they will be smart. Now, I'm a very smart person. I tell you, I believe I'm a very smart person. I tell you, and not just me, my family, we are smart people. And I tell you, one reason I believe that smart, apart from hereditary or maybe whatever, is because we grew up on God's word. I don't know the kind of house you grew up in. My own house, morning devotion was a must. My dad had a bell. A bell that literally, bell? You will ring it in the morning. You must wake up. And you know that wake up, you're not happy. Your face is frowned. You just come out and you dare not sleep. Everybody has a portion to read. That's how I grew up. You know, in the church I grew up in, we used to take lessons. You know, some people come and read lesson in church. I began to read lesson at 6 years. I'm not missing what, 6 years. And that's how almost everybody in my house started. And this is because, in fact, that lesson that I read there, when I was giving that portion, my dad made sure I crammed it. Even till now, it's still in my head as I'm talking to you. So the day I was reading the lesson, if people are talking, I'm looking at them and I'm still reading it. I was reading it. It was in my head. And I tell you, if you stay on God's word, you don't even know what he's doing to you, but he's changing you. Hallelujah. So you listen, you read it again. Stay there. Memorize. Let me even give you something. You can begin to practice what I'm saying. If you memorize one verse of the scripture every day, you will have 365 verses in your head at the end of the year. Are you following me? If you memorize one verse every day, you will have 365 in your head. I know that's one thing the older generation of saints had, a generation does not really have. And we must begin to work on it. Whenever you listen to Brother Hagin, you listen to even Bishop David Oyedepo, listen to Reverend Tokumbo. Reverend Tokumbo is the national director of RIMA. What people are telling you, they will stand like this. Reverend Tokumbo, I was listening to him at that time. You will hear things like, not the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 1. He will quote from verse 1 to the end and say, and chapter 2 says, he will quote from there. And chapter 3 says, I say, now, wow, did you write the Bible? And sometimes it's not by saying, I'm going to start cramming it. Stay on the word. Do you know there are scriptures you can quote in this church? And you don't even know how you memorized it.
But because I read it to you every time, Ephesians 1 verse 17, that the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's just there in your head. You know another example? Which other one? Is that 14:26? How is it then, brethren, when you come together? There are scriptures that will remain here if you just hear it all the time, and it's changing you. It's changing you. Hallelujah. So it's by continuous hearing that you can do. You know, Matthew 7:24 tells us the difference between the man that hears God's word and does it, and the one does not hear it and does not do it. Look at this. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and do them. Now, have I taught you how to do the word? How to do it is to continue hearing. Now, I will liken him unto a wise man. So, who built his house upon a rock? That's a man that's doing it. Now, continue. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. What is that rock? That rock is hearing and hearing and doing the word. Now, and everyone that heareth the sayings of man and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. Hallelujah. The rain will come, the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall. Notice, whether your house is on the rock or it's on the sand, the rain will come. The wind will come. Why it will survive or fall is not because of the capacity of the rain, but the capacity of being able to build by God's word. Because I tell you, the tough times of life come to all of us. If you don't know the word of God, you are going to shake, you're going to quiver, you're going to break down. Come on, are you following me? Stay on God's word. That's how transformation comes. Stay on God's word. That's why there are things that can happen to you. And in fact, it gets to a point where you feel you've gotten to your breaking point. Yet you will not break. God's word makes you that strong. You know the reason why you see people, any sponsor that happens to them, they break down. Any sponsor that they begin to complain, oh God, why is my life like this? They don't have God's word. There is no strength. Stay on the word. Hallelujah. So, repetitive hearing. And let me say a few more things about the word of God. The word of God, there are four things God's word will do to you. First, the word of God will show you what Christ has done. That's the first thing. It will show you what Christ has done in paying for your sins. I won't say much about this. I've thought of this a couple of times. It will show you what Christ has done in paying for your sins. And as a matter of fact, that's the central message of the entire Bible. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 44, when Jesus met those brothers on their way to Emmaus, he began to teach them. He opened their eyes. Verse 24, 44. Okay. He opened their eyes that they will understand the Bible. He began to show them. You get to 44 to 47. He showed them how that in the scriptures, what is written in the scriptures is concerning his death and resurrection. So the first thing the Bible, the word of God does is, as you're listening to it, you're understanding more what God has done in Christ, how he has paid for your sins, how he has forgiven your sins, how he has done all that for you. The second thing the word of God is going to do to you is that it will show you who you are and what you have as a result of what Christ has done. It will show you who you are and what you have as a result of what Christ has done. It will show you that you are righteous. It will show you that your sins are forgiven. It will show you that you have been made bold. It will show you that you are now one with Christ. Are you following me? It will show you that God now lives in you. It will show you that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It will show you that you've been made more than a conqueror. It will show you that you are now seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers. It will show you who you are. And that's why when people have identity crisis, it's because they don't know God's word. In fact, let me say it this way. When people have a low self-esteem, they don't know God's word. If you know God's word will show you who you are. You see, I'm a very bold person. And what made me that bold is the word of God. Amen? You know, there's a story in the Bible. The woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. The Bible says Jesus met her at the well. And that's an interesting story because actually, she was in the well in the daytime, in the afternoon.
You see, normally in Israel, in Bible times, women don't go to the well in the afternoon. They don't. It's actually early in the morning and all that. But she was there. So Bible commentators believe that she was there in the afternoon, or that by that time, because she was trying to hide from other people. You know, because she has committed plenty. Someone that the Bible says she had 5 husbands. And even the one she's living with is not her husband. So you know the shame and all that. So notice at that well, she was the only one at the well with Jesus. Only one. So she came to the well at a time when people don't normally come to the well. Who's following me at all? So she was timid. She was shy. She was afraid. She was ashamed because of her conduct. That's what guilt can do to you. But after Jesus spoke with her, the same lady ran into the village. There was now boldness. And gathered the whole community. I told them, come and see a man that showed me everything about myself. The word of God makes you bold. Some of us, you can't address people. You can't stand. Some of you don't even know what you deserve. Someone just comes to you and makes. Now, some ladies don't know what they deserve. Because they want a relationship. They just want anybody. So you see them in a relationship. The guy is beating them. The guy is insulting them. The guy is not treating them well. They say, but I love him. No, you don't love him. You have a low self-esteem. If you have a healthy esteem, you will know that you deserve the best. And what will show you that you deserve the best is God's word. God's word will show you that you have been accepted in the beloved. If God calls you his own, it means you matter. It means you matter. Hallelujah. It means you are something. You're not just a thing to be thrown away. You are of value. Glory to God. So God's word will show you who you are. Will show you what you have. Hallelujah. Who you are and what you have. What else will God's word do to you? God's word will instruct you. It will instruct you. So the word of God doesn't just show us who we are and what we have. The word of God instructs us. It tells us what we must do. Tells us how we must talk. It tells us how we must dress. Now, why is he telling us all of this? He's not telling us all of this so that God can be pleased with us. He's telling us all of this because we are now new people. And as new people, there is a way to act. Are you following me? There's a way to talk. There's a way to carry ourselves. There's a way to think. There is a way not to behave. So the word of God instructs you. Let me say this to you. You cannot be excited at who you are in Christ and ignore the instructions that come from the Bible. Are you following me? The same Bible that says you're righteous, that same Bible said, let him that stole steal no more. Same Bible. So don't just be instructed, don't just be excited rather about the, you know, there are people at different extremes. There is one extreme of people who just know who they are in Christ. They don't care about the instruction. All I know is that I'm righteous, I'm holy. I don't care about that. I'm just righteous and holy. That's an extreme. You should know who you are in Christ. That knowledge of who you are in Christ should make you to obey the instructions found in the Bible. But there's another extreme. This extreme, they don't even know who they are in Christ. All they care about is the Bible said, don't do this, don't do that. That's also wrong. Are you getting me? What is the balance? Who know who you are in Christ? Let who you are in Christ, the knowledge of it, empower you to now live as you should in the Bible. Are you following me this morning? So you meet a sister. Why should you not wear short skirts and go naked? The reason is not, if I wear it, God will kill me. That's a wrong reason. She's at this extreme. The reason is, I am now a new person. I'm now a new creature. I should no longer dress like that. Are you in church this morning? No. Why should you no longer steal? You used to steal. You used to be a Yahoo boy. Or you used to be a Ron's girl. Why should you no longer do it? The reason is simple. I'm no longer who I used to be. I'm now a new man in Christ. Glory to God. So God's word will instruct you. So 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 tells us that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So he will instruct you. Paideia. That's the Greek word. He will instruct you. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
And the first thing the word of God will do to you apart from the instruction is that it will correct you. Do you love correction? Do you love correction? Like this morning as I'm teaching, the word of God is correcting you. And let me say something to you before I continue, because I'm going to come to this correction later. You see, the response to God's correction is not argument. When people hear God's word, you know, I hear people say things like, it's like that pastor was talking to me. It's like somebody told him about me. You see, when God's word comes to you as correction, don't fight it, take it. Are you getting me? And somebody might be here saying, why is pastor talking about this thing today? It's like he's talking to me. Well, if God is bringing something up again and again in the service, and you are in that service, it's because you have to act on it. So when you hear God's word, listen for the correction. And I tell you, every now and then, God corrects me. And I enjoy God's correction. Hallelujah. I enjoy, even yesterday, there was this something God said, see, you are not doing this enough. You know, talking about correction, I told you for instance last Sunday, how that by prophecy, a man of God met me and said, this that God has given to you, you are not using it enough. It's not time to begin to argue. Are you in my life? Who thought I'm not using it? Take correction immediately. Are you getting the point? Take correction. So when God's word comes, he can bring correction. He wants to stop you. He wants to change you. Take that correction. Allow God's word to change you. If you're still there, say amen. Now, I tell you, so that's the first thing. So God's word changes us. How else does this change come? Another thing that brings change, I said number one is God's word. That's the gospel. The second one, of course, I will say a little about this, is prayer. Prayer changes us. Prayer will change you. If you want to be transformed, give yourself to prayer. And I talked about boldness a few minutes ago. Why do you think they beat the apostles? After beating them, they will still go and preach again. Prayer will make you bold. It will make you bold. So prayer makes it easy for you to do the word. In fact, prayer is doing the word. So I won't say much about that, but just know that prayer makes it easier for you to do the word. You cannot be a word person and not be a prayer person. So give yourself to prayer. And when I'm talking about prayer, it is not prayer that is primarily to meet your needs. No. No. It's not just prayer because I want to meet my needs. I'm praying because I want to pay my rent. That one is important. But I'm talking about a consistent daily prayer life. It will change you. Let me share something with you. If you have an addiction you're struggling with, and you want to change, and you've tried and it's not working, try what I'm going to give you. Stay the next 2 months on God's word daily and prayer daily. You're going to change. You will not even know when it will fall off. I just gave you a simple secret. Well, some of you don't want that. You just want to go for deliverance. Listen, stay on God's word daily. Wake up in the morning, read the Bible, listen to a message, pray, speak God's word, live for the day. He says, what about after this? I think commit the sin. Repeat it again at night. You see, gradually, what is happening is your mind is being renewed. Gradually, you will just find that thing fall off. First thing it begins to kill, it kills the appetite for it. You no longer want to do it. Hear me, friends. One of the things that I want to do to you is to keep you away from your Bible. And keep you away from your prayer life. He wants to keep you away from your spiritual life. Your fellowship with God is an asset you must protect. Protect it. And I'm saying this is December. Many of you are going to travel. Protect your fellowship time with God. If not, you are going to drop into next year. Carelessly, like someone who doesn't have direction. But that's what happens. Once we travel now, you travel for Christmas now, you just eat chicken from morning till night. No longer time to pray. No longer time to study. The year will now start. You don't even know where you're going to. Some of us even eat chicken till 15th January. And that's why some people, they start their year in February. Don't be that stupid. Keep yourself to prayer and the word daily.
You will conquer your fears. You know, if you are here and you are always, and I'm saying this by the Holy Ghost, you're always afraid. Always afraid. Sometimes you're afraid for nothing. You just don't know why you're afraid. Pray what I'm saying. God's word. Read it. Confess it every day. Pray. Fear will vanish. You know, I gave some warnings about fear on Thursday. Do you remember? Some instruction about fear on Thursday. Stay. See, fear will rise in your heart. Don't give in to it. Are you getting me? Don't give in to it. I've had sometimes, if I'm at the verge of some amazing things that God wants to do in my life, I will notice that there will be heightened fear. And once I notice it, I know there is demonic activity around. It's not hard to see. I just know what to do. I slip into prayer. Listen to me here. Some of you, I don't know why I'm saying this. This is a digression. But I tell you, some of the dreams you are seeing, it's just an attempt of the devil to get you afraid. It means nothing. He has tried to invade your mind. You didn't agree. So he will invade your dream world. Show you an accident in your dream. Show you where 10 people died in your dream. Show you where they were shooting in your dream. He wants to get you afraid. You now wake up, you're afraid. When you get up, pace around in your room. Just talk in the Holy Ghost. Talk in the Holy Ghost. And then utterance will rise from your inside. The Lord hides me in his pavilion. I am hidden in the secret place of the Most High. Glory to God. 1,000 shall fall by my right, 10,000 by my left. They shall not come near me. Utterance will rise in your heart. You just stop. You just wait. I tell you something I practice all the time. Once I notice that demon of fear, it's a demon. Fear of the unknown. I don't even know why I'm afraid. And sometimes there is no reason to be afraid, but you're afraid. It's the devil. It's the devil. And one way Satan is going to do a lot during this period is through fear. Fear is a devil. And you mustn't let it stay. I don't know who needs to hear this. Prayer and God's word will expel fear from your heart. It will expel fear from your heart. It will expel fear from your heart. Glory to God. Glory to God. So if you're going to travel this December, I'm getting this by the Holy Ghost. You're going to get home and they say, oh, well, you don't eat that food. Don't eat that food. Like, listen to me, if you want to be careful, it's fine. Be careful. But never let fear rule your heart. Because when you are responding to fear, you've made yourself vulnerable to Satan. Let me give you what I'm saying. Somebody brings food. They say, oh, this food is poison. You are suspecting, what if it's poison? Go for it. And you are afraid. And you refuse to eat it. If it was fear you responded to, what is happening is you have dodged that food. You will not eat it. But you've exposed yourself to more attacks of the devil. Are you getting me? Because fear makes you vulnerable. You just see a dream or you hear somebody say, ah, Alonso Soro, there's an accident. I say, I'm not going to travel again. I'm staying inside my room. You will be in your room. Death will enter there. Because once you expose them to fear, you've opened the door to the devil. The thing is this, fear comes to all of us. The good thing is, we can expel it. Who is following me? You pace around in your room. And let me tell you, whenever fear is coming, you know, God has been talking to me about this very recently. Whenever fear is coming, one of the greatest attempts of the devil is to keep your mouth shut. Don't confess God's word on your bed. Stand up. Boldness is not bold face. Boldness is free speaking and bold speaking. Yes, that's what boldness is. They say, I'm bold. I'm bold. No. Satan doesn't want you to speak freely. Boldness is not bold face. It's free speaking. In the Greek, it's paresia. That's what is in the Greek. Free speaking, freedom of speech. Freedom of speech. That you can speak freely, pass around in your room. Oh, there is peace in my borders. Nothing is going wrong around me. I know what God has said to me. And I'm expecting something good. No harm, no hurt, no shame. Hallelujah. Agaberatea. We're just talking to the Holy Ghost. You laugh a little. Always remember to laugh. Because that laughter, Satan, he is afraid of it. So speak a little. Laugh. Don't miss it. Don't forget it. Just talk a little. The Lord is bringing me to the best shape of my life. Sometimes you're just afraid. What if this December? What are we going to eat? What if there's no food to cook? the money to cook and all that. How am I going to survive? We need to do this. I need about 800,000. When you are done thinking, that's the fear. Stand up in your room. Speak in the Holy Ghost. Praise in tongues. Declare God's word. Say some beautiful things. Do a laugh. Do a run. Do a shout. I'm telling you what to do. The first thing it begins to address is that fear in your heart. And then you leave that room. Nothing has changed in the physical, but everything has changed in your heart. Nothing goes wrong with Jesus. You know, I put this on my status and I feel like saying it to you. I don't care what has happened in your past, but you should leave your past alone. Because I'll tell you what, God is doing more in your future than everything the devil has done in your past. Somebody needs to hear that again. I said, all the mess the devil has created in your past, God is doing more in your future. Do you understand? You need to be confident, and God's word makes us that confident. He's doing more in my future than the devil has done in my past. He's fixing my future better than the mess the devil created in my past. Always doing more. Always doing more. Boldness is free speaking. That's the boldness of the scriptures. The boldness of the scripture is not bold face. Even though you have bold face, but it's actually free speaking. That's why when you want to speak God's word, it's not on your bed. All things are mine and I'm fresh. You already afraid. You already stand up. Speak freely. Much more is coming into your hand this season. Much more is coming. It's like this year, this month, great harvest. Say it freely. You know, you must learn the posture of faith and the language of faith. You notice, that's why when I pray for the sick and pray for people, you should observe me. You notice when I'm speaking God's word, even if I've been teaching very quietly, when I want to speak God's word, I raise the tempo of my voice. It's deliberate. That's how to do it. Not when I'm praying for the sick, I want to talk. If there is a demonic spirit I'm oppressing someone, I don't look at the devil and say, go in Jesus' name, just get up. Come on. Out! As soon as out is enough. No plenty talk. You are so well, be healing night. I said out is enough. Just out is enough. That free speaking, that bold speech. Don't keep your mouth shut. I don't even know why we are doing this digression. But don't keep your mouth shut. Don't keep your mouth shut. Don't speak under your breath. All I need on everything is going to be fine. Everything is going to be fine. Yeah. But the Bible tells us, he said, bless the Lord, all his angels that hearken to the voice of his word. So it is not just the word of God that angels hearken to. Angels hearken to the voice of his word. So when you give his word the voice, angels will act. So don't murmur under my breath. I'm going to be changed. I'm going to be changed in Jesus' name. My school fees will be paid. What will happen if you speak out? Everything needs to hear you. Everything needs to hear you. So what if I shout it and it doesn't happen? Shout it again. You notice when Jesus wanted to calm the storm, he didn't lie down on his bed and say, in Jesus' name, storm be calm. No. He stood up, came out, faced the storm, openly, learn to speak boldly and freely. I don't know who needs to hear this. Confession is all that you do on your bed. Stand up. Around, talk, speak God's word. Don't forget to laugh. Yeah, I tell you all the time, don't forget to laugh. You know, I used to share this story with you. My spiritual father used to tell us of how he wanted to travel. He was to, okay, two stories. He was on a plane, you know, that story where he was just going to travel. And they were already flying, and there was turbulence and all that. You remember the story? And how the guy he was with held him tight. And when they finally landed, The guy asked, why were you holding me like that? He said, I've heard you say that if there is a plane crash, that you are going to disappear. So I held you so that if you want to disappear, we move. But look at the story. The story is, the next time he was to catch a flight, suddenly he got to the airport and he sat down. That whole experience came on him. This thing is very dangerous. The whole experience of the turbulence, if you've ever been in a plane and there was turbulence, may you not experience it in Jesus' name. Amen. So that's when you know that everybody is born again. Even Muslims used to call on Jesus, Jesus, blood of play. So he said the whole experience came on him again. And he knew what to do. He stood up from that place, left where he was sitting, went straight to the toilet, the restroom in the airport, shut the place, and began to shout. You don't let the devil dominate your mind. Fear is the devil seeking permission to run riot in your life. He entered and began to talk. He said he knew the person in the other wondering, who is that madman in there? He was shouting. He said he spoke for about 10-15 minutes until he could feel that the thing has lifted. He came back. The man of God shared a story with me that I've shared with you guys here. How that they were in a place, it was in the north, and all these herdsmen thing came around and they wanted to, you know, kill them and all that. Said he was already lying down, the wolf was already lying down, and they held their hands and began to pray in tongues. Okay, so as they were praying in tongues, suddenly those headmen just told them, stand up, go, and release them, and they left. Now see, but while they were trying to get them to lie down at first, one hit the wife, say, lie down, and they laid down and all that. So when they prayed a little, the henchmen for some reason told them, stand up, go, run, and they left. That was deliverance, right? But see what happened next. He said some days later, he was lying down with his wife, and then in the night he was turning and his hand mistakenly touched her, and she jumped up and screamed. So that experience was still in her mind, and he told her, I know how to do this. Get up, no more sleep. And they began to pace around their room. You don't let the devil of fear stay. There has been a deliverance, but Stan is using that fear to seek permission to do another thing. So they began to pace around the room. Pace around the room. Rebuking the demon of fear. The Bible said, in the time of trouble, he shall hide me under his pavilion. There is a place we hear that is safe. It is the secret place of the Most High. That's where we are. Nothing goes wrong in that place. Glory to God. And of Benjamin, he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety. I am the beloved of the Lord. I dwell in safety. And it's not just enough to hear it. When that fear tries to come, stand up and begin to walk around. Talk. He said, you are sick. They say this sickness is this. What if you wake up tomorrow and you can no longer move your head? What if you wake up tomorrow and your heart is no more working? That's going to rebuke that demon. What is telling you what if is not happening yet. Actually, what he's doing is, he's saying, can you permit me to do it? Are you following me, church? Job puts it this way. Job said, what I feared the most has come upon me. And that's the power of the word of God and prayer. Stay in God's word. Hallelujah. Stay with God's word. Stay with God's word. Glory to God. Sit down for a moment. Stay with God's word. God's word changes us. I don't know why we made that digression, but did that bless you? Stay with God's word. So two things I say, change comes by God's word. Change comes by prayer. And I'm going to say two more things, then we'll close. Change, or this transformation, also comes through ministry gifts. By ministry gifts, I mean men that God has sent over us. They change us. They change our lives, they change our ministry. Let me tell you this. It is difficult to experience full transformation and growth if you don't learn to maximize the men that God has sent over your life. know, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11 how that he gave some apostles and some prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints for the work of ministry. What perfects the saints are pastors, apostles. So I am here to perfect you. I am here to help you mature. I'm here to help you grow. And you better know it. You know, there was a guy that was in the Bible. His name was Apollos. And he had passion for God. That's Acts chapter 18 and verse 24. He had passion, strong passion for God. But he didn't have knowledge. But he was an eloquent man. He was even mighty in the scriptures. But then, see what happened? He was instructed in the word of the Lord and he was favored in spirit. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. But the only thing he knew was the baptism of John. Now, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him and expounded unto him the word of the Lord. That's what a ministry gift can do. They took him and helped him grow. See the next verse, what follows? Verse 27. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting. So the guy went on. In fact, this Apollos became a very great man. That they were even comparing him with Paul. Some were saying, I'm of Paul. Others were saying, I'm of Apollos. But it took some, a husband and wife, to sit him down and teach him and make him strong. God's word, through the men he has sent, will make you strong. Hear this, friends. If you despise God's men, you're despising God himself. People say things like, I don't believe in men, I believe in God. Well, that is beautiful. People say, don't quote men, quote the word of God. Amazingly, what you call the word of God was written by men. So every time you quote the word of God, you're quoting men. I hope you know that. If you quote Romans, you're quoting Paul. If you quote the book of Isaiah, of course, you see the name Isaiah. If you quote Jeremiah, you're quoting a man. What does that tell you? That tells you that God has put the things that will help you grow in men. And that's why we are here. That's why there are leaders. That's why I'm here. And how they change you, how these men change you, is by that same way. They constantly feed you. By constantly feeding you, you are changed. Imagine giving birth to a child and the child says, I don't need my parents. I can grow on my own. I can eat on my own. Eventually, the child may not even eat at all. Or even if he eats, he will only be eating things that he likes. Things like sweets, lollipop, golden mom. But it takes a mother to say, see, today is beans. And you're wondering, what's the point? What's the point? Why must we eat beans? We must eat beans today. The next day, she brings one soup that you don't know where it's coming from. They say it's very nutritious. And you have to eat it. And after all, you're frowning, you are going to eat it because she's thinking about you. And that's the thing about ministry gifts. Paul told the church, the elders of the church in Acts 20 verse 28, that they should feed the flock of God. For instance, what I'm teaching you this morning, some of you don't want to hear it. But that is my job, to teach you what you don't want to hear. Because you need it. Say amen. So the ministry gifts will feed you. They feed you with God's word. And that's why you must always be ready to learn. My job here is to feed you God's word. And if you ignore my job over your life, you are not going to grow or get better. Have you not realized that there are some times, have you not noticed that some of you, your lives are getting better when you met us? Have you observed that? We started growing and becoming. It's because God has given us that capacity to produce that change in you. It's okay to go and gather Christian books and say, well, I will just read books and do all of that. Good thing is the books you are reading is even men that wrote it. But it's also good when you commit to a man God has sent to your life and he begins to teach you, he begins to feed you. One of the things the Lord said to me yesterday, it was a strong correction. He said, you don't say enough about how the church should receive your ministry and how people should be committed to the church. That's what I'm going to talk about church before we close. That the two instructions God gave me yesterday. You must be ready to receive. I am here for your benefits.
And my job here is to teach you. And I teach you what God wants me to give you. Hallelujah. At different doses, at different rations. Hallelujah. You see, that's why, you see, every time I say it, I teach you God's word, and I teach you God's word for a long time. And I have no apologies for that. And you should enjoy it. You should enjoy it. That's how you grow. Ministry, that's why, if you're under a pastor, and that pastor is not feeding you with God's word enough, that pastor is cheating you. He's robbing you. A pastor should keep you and feed you God's word. You see, that's why you see people who has been going to church, they've been going to church for like 10 years. Yes, their life, you see the way it is. They can't even pray. They can't even face life. Because they go to either they don't hear God's word at all. Because sometimes what we preach in many churches today is not the word of God. We preach to entertain. We preach to excite people. We are not preaching God's word. We don't tell them, oh, don't worry, everything is going to fine. You will make it. That's not God's word. There is that in God's word, but that's not what there is to God's word. I'm talking about the whole counsel of God. Many people go to churches where they're not taught. So you see them after 10 years of being in church, nothing to show for it. No conviction, nothing. So ministry gifts will teach you. They will instruct you. And should I add, they will correct you. You know, this is one part where people miss out in receiving from ministry gifts. You see, always keep a posture that shows that you are ready to receive correction, because there will be corrections. It can come from the pulpit as I'm talking now. It can also come to you directly. So if in the course of my teaching this morning, I've hit you somewhere you don't like, that's the correction. Say amen. Amen. That's the correction. That's the correction. It should be that sometimes when you are done, you go back and change some things in your life. Correction is taking place. And you must be open for correction. Be open for it. Open for instruction, because it will be coming. Many people don't like correction. And I tell you, if you are not open to correction and your pastor is not free enough to correct you, you are an illegitimate child. Amen? It's not me that said it. It's the Bible. Hebrews chapter 12. He said, every true son will be disciplined by the father. Are you getting the point? And that's why if you are here and I've ever corrected you, you should thank me again and again. And that's the truth. And you must keep a posture that shows, sir, you can always bring the correction. Whether I'm bringing it direct to you or on stage like this. You know, one of our people met me during Zoe. Very interesting stuff. It made me laugh too. But you know, on Sunday after Zoe, or during Zoe, I was teaching and I made a little digression. I said, even if you are maybe selling cigarettes. Do you remember I said that? You're selling cigarettes or selling alcohol, and your conscience does not accept that. That they should not sin against your conscience. Do you remember that? And somebody made me after service, a minister. Say, sir, you spoke to me today. I said, how? Say, there is a product that came in, a new product that came in. And we've gotten this product at no price at all. And the carton is packed in my house. And I've planned that as I go home now is to get to work. And it's a new hallelujah. He said, but my conscience flogs me all the time. So when you spoke this morning, I took the correction. Yeah. You don't argue with God's word. God's word will not adjust to you. You adjust to God's word. Say amen. Amen. It won't adjust to you. God's word will never one day allow you to dress how you like. It will never say amen. It will never one day allow you to talk the way you like. Never. It's what you only find a pastor that will water it down for you and deceive you. Are you following me? God's word will never allow you to start duping people in business and call it smartness. God's word will not allow that. Somebody can deceive you, but not the word of God. Ready to change. God's word will never come to a point where he says, well, while you are in the hall, you can copy from 5 people. You know, those days in our secondary school, not in my own secondary school, but a close by secondary school, some group of Christians came from the higher institution and they were trying to
teach. I said, well, don't carry any notebook into the hall. But then if you're in the hall and you don't know, you can turn to your neighbor and you ask the person. It is not actually a sin. It is helping your neighbor in the hall. Let me say this to you. If you're a victim of this, you better stop it. It can never be right. Do you know what I said? It can never be right. It can never be right. It can never be right. You are cheating in the exam hall. You are copying from your neighbor. You are sinning. Change your ways. Say amen. It doesn't matter whether you like it or not. He says, how is it a sin? I'm just helping my neighbor. My neighbor says, well, if you think it is so correct, if you think it is so right, then next time you want to help your neighbor, take permission from the lecturer. Sir, let me tell him number two. He doesn't know number two. Why are you hiding? Because deep down with your conscience, you know something is wrong with that. And I'm afraid for the next generation. Because our generation, we commonize things and commonize sin. So by the time your children come, you'll be the one paying for special center for them to go and write work. You'll be the one paying for them to sort courses. Because you watered down everything. Not me. And not in this church. Except you go to another church, but you are still here. That money you paid to that special center, you will give me times 20. Times 20. Let's help people that have not written WAEC. Just share money to them. There is a standard. Are you getting the point? And I tell you, even me as a pastor, God's word used to hit me too. When it hits you, don't start doing and just say amen. God's word will always be God's word. It will never be right to be in a relationship with three people and playing three of them. It will never be right. It will never be right. Say amen.
Amen.
It will never be right. It will never be right as a girl to be in a relationship, to be in a relationship or not even in a relationship with a guy, and you are exploiting the guy. You are just there for the money, sapping him. It will never be right. If you like, make all the excuses. I didn't beg him for the money. I didn't ask him to give me. He's the one that called me. Are you a fool? It will never be right. Adjust. Say amen. And brother, it will never be right that you are deceiving two, three sisters. You know you have no plans for them. But that's what some pastors do, or some men of God. He said, he's like, how are these girls? They don't want to leave me alone. Are you sure? You are the one that don't want to leave them alone. You try to show them care. It's not about just being caring. You know. You should know when handshake has crossed from here and is now getting here. You know. You are just being caring. You call the girl by 11 p.m. You check up on her in the morning. You check up on her in the night. You send her airtime. And after some time, she now begins to like you. You know, I say, no, I didn't mean anything. Touch your neighbor. Say, adjust. 30%. Because you know what you are doing when you are doing it. Look at something. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 11. I just want to close this now. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 11. With NLT. Glory to God. He said, just see. Now, Paul corrected them in the first chapter, in the first book letter he wrote to them. So he was happy that the correction produced the right response. Look at, just see what this Holy Spirit produced in you. He said, such earnestness, such concern to clear yourself, such indignation, such alarm, such longing to see me. I like this part. Such longing to see me. There are people that when you correct them, they run away from you. A man of God corrects them, they stop coming to church. But these people, it produced a longing. After the correction, because if you read 1 Corinthians, Paul was very hard on them. In that book, he showed them pepper. But if you guys have a longing to see me, such zeal, such readiness to punish wrong. You have showed that, or you showed that you have done everything necessary to make things right. That's the right response to correction. So you walk into church late, and I tell you, you came late today. Don't do that again. And if I've been coming to church late, adjust from now. Say amen.
Amen.
Service time is 8:30. Whether you're a leader, you're a minister, 8:30, be seated in church. Glory to God. Be seated where? In church. Adjust. So God uses people like us, ministry gifts, to help you get transformed. And finally, still related to this ministry gifts thing, God uses the church. The church is God's greatest instrument for transformation. Because all these things, the word of God, prayer, and even ministry gifts are found in the church. And that's the last admonition I'm going to give you this morning before we go. The church changes us. The Bible calls the church in 1 Timothy 3 verse 15. It refers to the church as the pillar and ground of truth. So, one way God changes us is through the church. Have you ever found yourself at a very down moment of your life where you didn't even feel like serving God again, but you still kept coming to church and somehow you are sustained? That is the truth. The church changes you. And sometimes, like I said concerning God's word, we don't even know what happens when we come to church. We just feel, after pastor has taught us for another 2 hours, this man wants to kill us. And you go home. But something is happening inside of you. Adjustment is taking place. Change is happening. Are you getting me? Have you ever noticed that since you started coming to church, some things that you used to do, you no longer find interest in them. Some places you are weak, you are now stronger. Some places you have struggle, you no longer have the struggle. Because God's word is changing you. Let me say this to you. The writer of Hebrews gave an instruction. He said, as you see the day approaching, which day? The day of the return of the Lord. He said, neglect not the gathering of the saints. So the closer, people say, you know, and that's, thank you, Holy Ghost. That is one thing in this generation. People say, we are getting into technology, whatever, Web3. You know, the world is advancing. Right now, church service should hold online. You know, that's what people believe. I can just follow online from my house. It's not the same thing. It's foolishness. The Bible said that as the day approaches, we should meet more. But the devil is trying to make us feel like as the day is approaching, we should reduce our meeting. It's a game of the devil. And you see those people that claim they follow service online, they don't follow nothing. You're following service online. And that's all our online followers. I want to appreciate you guys, but you must still know how to follow online. Following online is a means to an end, not an end in itself. And when you're following online, don't follow online like you don't. You're this following online, you're lying down on your bed. Or you're washing clothes. You're watching. That's not true. You're not in church. You're not learning nothing. You want to follow online. Get your notes. Sit down. When we rejoice, rejoice. When we say pray, stand up and pray. But then you should only follow online if you cannot be present. If you can be present, try everything in this world to be present. Hear this, friends. I heard this clearly from the Lord last night. The church is not a place to visit. It's a family to belong to. It's not a place you visit. I want to tell some of you that I even trust in, let me say this to you generally, some that are trusting the anointing of God upon my life to work for you over an issue. It will only work if you're always in church. It's easier that way. I have people that chat me up from all over the world, say, sir, my great grandbrother told me about you. Please speak a word. My stepsister, listen, it's easier when you are here. I'm teaching you. I teach you today. I teach you on Thursday. I teach you on Friday. I teach you every day. You are getting stronger. Yeah, always be in church. Always be in church. As you see that approach, always be around. That is what changes you. It's a place for change. That's why you must always be available. Never be too busy. Make up your mind, 2023, I will not be too busy for church. I will not be too busy. I'll be around for midweek services.
I'll be around on Sundays. Now, listen to this, friends. Sometimes when we invite people to church and they don't come, they come back to your DM and they say, I'm sorry for not coming. That's actually a very bad thing to say. You should be sorry for yourself. Coming to church doesn't do me any good. I am telling you for free. You be here. Because you don't realize, even if there are two people here, I will preach the same one preaching. In fact, the lower the number, the longer I preach. Now that's me. Because if you are plenty, now if you're up to, if you are plenty, you know, I'm considering some of your visits. But if you are just three people, I can sit down, I'm there with you 4 hours. So your business doesn't change anything for me. It's changing you. It's you are the one being transformed. You are the one being transformed. I shared with you guys how, that's why sometimes I see some of you travel to church. I was moving from Abani to New Haven for service every day, every door, every Wednesday and every Sunday. Over 1 year of my life. As a student. Because that is where I wanted to go. I wanted to learn. Some of you come from far. Leave all those excuses. And let me say this to you. Don't be in church for sentimental reasons. Oh, because if I don't go now, they'll ask me. Be in church where you are going to grow, where you are going to get better, where you are going to get stronger. Church should change you. Church should change you. Always be around. I'm challenging you this morning to be transformed. And there is no transformation if you don't commit to the local church. This is the second warning God gave me yesterday. He said to me, you don't emphasize a lot on the need for the church. Be available. Be involved. Give. Serve. Be around. Everything that is happening in church is designed to change you. I said this before, let me say it again. If you are too busy for church, then you are too busy. You see what I said? If you are too busy for church, what does it mean? You are too busy. You are too busy. So how do you expect the change to come? You think it's all these things you visit here once in a while. And we say, shout glory, you shout glory. Receive, you say amen. That's not it. That's not what God wants for you. God wants you to be here every day. Every day. You are learning. Let me say this before I close. Everything in church is designed for your spiritual growth. When I mean everything, I mean the long teaching, the prayer meetings, the outreach, the evangelism, the love feast, the quarrel. You know what I said? You know the quarrel that happens in church? Everything is designed to help you get better. And I can't go to that church and somebody annoyed me. That's why you are there, to get better. You are learning how to forgive. Are you getting the point? Everything in church is designed to help you grow. The instructions, the structure. For instance, the church has a structure. You know, let me close. Thank you, Holy Ghost. The church has a structure. Even that structure in church is meant to make you grow. In the church, we don't just, everybody's not the leader. The church is designed like a family. There is a father and there is a family. I'm the father over this house. You must respect that structure. That structure is meant to make you grow. Imagine in a church there is no leader. Everybody is equal. Anybody can stand up and preach. Next week, Ella can come up and say, it's my turn today. I heard from God, I'm going to preach. Hallelujah. And in the next 2 weeks, it's Minister Ogemde. He will come to church very early and seize this mic and just hold it. As I'm doing everything, he's holding the mic because I must preach today. So you can imagine after service today, somebody can go home with the mic against next week. Imagine that kind of structure. You see, what is going to happen, and I'm going to say this to some of you. Thank you, Father. That church, you will never be better. Everybody say what they think. Church is important, friends. Do you know that? Let me say this before I close. Because of the structure of the church, it's easy for God to talk to you. Many of you have itching ears. I don't know why God is bringing this to my heart, but I believe this is the last thing I'm going to say. You have itching ears. You have itching ears. If a prophet meets you on the way, I said, thus says the Lord. He said, hey, I receive. Let me say this to you. The fastest way for God to reach you is through your pastor.
If God wants to give you a prophetic word, he will use me to give it to you faster. And this will help some of you have sanity. All these prophets, listen, all these prophets are moving all over the place looking for who to prophesy to. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 12, 28, God has set this in the church. Look at, and that's why many people get into confusion. Look at what God explained to me in my spirit, man. I'm just explaining to you and I'll close. You have children, right? Huh? If you want to instruct your children or correct them, are you always going to send somebody they don't know? When we say, but God can speak through anybody and through anything, he can. But that's not the ultimate way he talks to you. Imagine your father wants to talk to you. Tomorrow is a strange person appearing. He say, I'm from your dad. He say, I don't know you. Say, yes, but your dad sent me to talk to you. Next week, another strange person you don't know. Say, yes, I'm from your dad. You're going to be confused. It's your dad that will be talking to you directly. If he cannot, he will send your uncle. He will send your elder ones. That's why there is a structure in the church. That's why people who are not committed to a local church, they are the easiest to deceive. Amen? Any prophet can just come and speak. That's why I'm not somebody that is excited by all this. You come and tell me, thus says the Lord, who are you? Who are you? I want to know who you are. Where are you coming from? Why will God tell you something about me? I'm not saying God will not speak to you. You have to answer these questions. And some of you make, as in, lifetime decisions on those fickles, those things you hear. Somebody tell you, God said that. You say, oh, I'm going to just change. God will not talk to you. That is one of them, when I was in school, prophet just met him. Say, you got your admission. You cheated in your jam. Yes. You cheated in your WAEC. He said, yes. He said, thus says the Lord, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The guy was in third year. He dropped out of school. It takes a pastoral grace, a pastoral cover to hear that thing from the Lord and correct you and tell you to stop that rubbish. But we will not tell you to drop out of school. Drop out of school, pastoral writing jam. I don't know if I've got admission till now. God will speak to you through known voices. Did you hear what I said?
Yes,
that's why you need to belong to the church. All these prophets on Facebook, as some of you even on their comments saying, are you seeing something for me? They are not seeing anything. It's your gray head I see. Say, see for me. See what? You a believer. First, God will talk to your spirit. He will talk to you. If you don't want to hear, he will bring you to your dream. If you refuse to hear, he will tell me. And when I mean he will tell me, it might not even be me. No, that's why the pastoral anointing is interesting. It might not even be me calling you out to say, come, thus says the Lord. It might be in all this my petition, my examples, my jokes, my handshake. Come on, everyone, I'm saying. My jokes to you. All this digression. All this my yabbing and teasing. And something is happening to you. Through known voices. That's why the local church is a place of safety. It's a place of safety. That's why some of you that even go for evangelism and you get words for people. There is a way to give them those words. You cannot give those words from a place of authority. You are not their pastor. Are you getting the point? And a person has a right not to receive what you are giving, and it's fine. Because God doesn't want to run confusion in the body. That's what is causing trouble all over the place. Go on Facebook. Some of them think because you say, I'm called to be an apostle or a prophet, I'm sent to the body and you are addressing the body. 25 years, God sent you to the body because you don't want to belong to a church. Let me tell you, all the words and instruction from God you need that are inside this building. If you will not tell me, he will tell your pastors, he will tell your ministers, he will tell your elder brothers, he will tell your elder sisters. Are you getting what I'm talking about? So, maximize the church. Maximize the church. Hallelujah. Maximize the church. You want to be transformed? I give you four things. Stay on the word. Pray. Receive ministry gifts that God has given to you. Maximize the local church.
God wants you to be better. God wants you to grow. Next Sunday, for instance, we're going to have Love Feast. It's still for your growth. Everything that happens in church is for your growth. On Thursday, we're going to have prayer meeting for your growth. On Friday, Echoes, for your growth. You can't say things like, I don't have time for vigil. My own is just day meetings. For your growth, brother. Because you don't even know the change happening. When you are adding in weight, you don't know you are adding. When you are building capacity, you don't know you are building. Just be coming around. Something is changing. I get to the point. Let me share some things with you then I close finally. Have you been blessed? There are many things I see functioning in my life today as a minister that I cannot actually tell you the exact day that maybe the impartation happened that I began to flow in it. But I can tell you that growing up, they were not in my life. Have you ever had that kind of experience? And suddenly you just found out that you are now doing it. You don't even know the exact meeting. I get to the point. That's why when there are meetings, be around. You don't know that, but something is happening. Something is happening. Something is happening. That's something that you see functioning in your life. You don't even know the exact meeting or the exact date changed. Some of you are not, you could not explain Bible before. Suddenly you just find yourself, you can now explain the Bible. You don't even know how it happened. You could not pray for long. Suddenly you can now pray. Something is happening every time we are studying church. Decide to grow. Decide to be transformed. 2023 is coming. Make a commitment to God's word. Make a commitment to prayer. Make a commitment to ministry gifts. Make a commitment to church. Always be in church. Amen? Always be in church. Always. Always. Be involved. Let God change you. Let God change you. Give. Do everything. Be part of church. And there is somebody I need to talk to. You've been coming around, but you come just once in a while, and when you can't, you won't. Stop it. God is calling you to a higher level of commitment now. Stay committed. That success that you will achieve by staying away from church and from His word is not good success. It is not good success. And Satan wants to use it as a bait. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So church changes us. Hallelujah. Are we grateful to God for the local church? Are we happy? Blessed that we have a church. Are you blessed that you have a church? You know, I tell people all the time, if I wasn't the pastor of this church, I would have still been a member of this church. Amen. Forever. If I wasn't the pastor, I would be a member. And if I stop being the pastor, I will still be a member. Glory to God. God changes us, and His church is His strategy. And thank God for the church. See, talking about church this morning, this is 2 hours under the teaching of God's word. Why are you not blessed? And sometimes people wonder, why do you guys teach for that long? I don't like all these kind of churches. Well, that is the kind of church you need to attend. Where you are stretched on God's word. Glory to God. One of the instructions God gave me for next year is in my notes. He said, pay attention to more expository teachings next year. So next year will be a year of teachings back to back. We are going to have time to expose certain books. There are months I'm going to pick a certain book of the Bible and I'll be on it throughout the month. Why? It's the year of light. Are you getting me? So give yourself to God's word. God wants to change us. It is my earnest desire that by this time next year, you will look back at this message and you will tell yourself, hi, I've been transformed. I've changed. I no longer talk the way I used to. I now understand better. Something has changed. It's a check to run on your life all the time. You get the point? To check, am I really growing? Am I really improving? Is my love work getting better? Is my knowledge getting better?
What is changing in my life? Am I getting better in sowing and in commitment? Am I being transformed? Hallelujah. Stand to your feet and just give God praise for the blessing of the local church, for the blessing of His word, for how He changes us and how He wants to change us. Just thank the Lord. I'm not going to pray for you today. Just thank the Lord all over this place. Let me hear you. Lift your voice. Your voice should be loudest when you give thanks. Just thank Him for His word. Just thank Him for His word. Shila da barada. Holy words, long preserved for our walks in this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the end. Listen again, I'll be close. Holy words, come on. Long
preserved for our walk in this world.
Yes, come on.
Oh, let the ancient world sing.
Ancient world.
We are down, we open up, oh, that is a
God. One last time, look at this, please. Ancient world, ancient world, changing me,
changing me, and changing you. We are down, we open up, oh,
let me hear everybody lift your hands and let's sing it again. Ancient walls. Finally, I'd like you to just close your eyes all over this place. This is a service that would have challenged you to make some commitments. So make some commitments. Maybe your study life, your prayer life. What commitments are you making? To commitment, to church, to everything. What are you going to do after now to be able to see this transformation that God wants for you? Just pray and make those commitments to see those transformation. In Jesus' name we pray. And Father, thank you. Your word gives light and understanding to the simple. We are leaving this place better in the name of Jesus. We are leaving this place stronger in the name of Jesus. We are leaving this place to produce much more results in the name of Jesus. And where there have been instructions and corrections this morning, I release impartation to work in those things in the name of Jesus. I release impartation to effect those changes in the name of Jesus. We are getting better. In Jesus' name we pray. Were you blessed this morning?
Let's give the Lord a shout if you are blessed this morning. Hallelujah.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.